Welcome to our deep dive today. We are going to be digging into a lecture by Dr. Robert Vannoy, focusing on Old Testament history, and particularly the patriarchal period. You can think of it like we're doing detective work, but with ancient pottery shards and crumbling walls. And get this, archaeology doesn't just confirm what we read in the Bible. Sometimes it throws us curveballs.
Yeah, it's really about adding layers of understanding, I think.
Yeah.
To the world that those stories emerge from, not trying to, prove or disprove anything.
Yeah.
But just to kind of see those connections.
Okay, so picture this. We're on the hunt for King Solomon's legendary copper mines at Ezion Geber. Archaeologist Nelson Gluck thinks he's struck gold, finding a structure he believes is an ancient blast furnace, just like the Bible describes. He even calls it the Pittsburgh of Old Palestine.
Wow. You can imagine the excitement, right? It seemed to confirm those biblical accounts of Solomon's vast trading network.
But here's the twist. Gluck later revises his findings. What he thought were plumes for drafting air. Probably just holes where wooden beams decayed. The furnace might have been a regular building.
It's a big reminder that even with seemingly rock-solid evidence, interpretations can change. Archaeology is a process of ongoing discovery. So what we think we know today might be revised tomorrow.
So you see, even archaeologists can get things wrong. It's a good lesson for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Just because we read something doesn't mean it's the final word, whether it's about Solomon's mines or anything else.
Absolutely. We need to be critical thinkers.
Yeah.
And be open to new information as it comes to light.
Now, this whole idea of changing interpretations really comes through in the lecture. Dr. Vannoy emphasizes the tentative nature of archaeology. It's like piecing together a puzzle with only half the pieces.
Right, and sometimes those pieces don't fit neatly. The fragmentary nature of evidence means we're always dealing with gaps in the story. So we have to be cautious about jumping to conclusions.
But wait, if we're only finding bits and pieces, how can we be sure about anything? What are the limits of using archaeology to understand history?
That's a great question. I think it's important to recognize that. Archaeology can give us valuable insights, but it doesn't provide a complete or definitive picture of the past.
It's like, even with fingerprints at a crime scene, there can be multiple interpretations. Speaking of debates, Dr. Vannoy mentions this great magazine called Biblical Archaeology Review. It's packed with discoveries and controversies, perfect for any history buff.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic resource.
Yeah.
Because it presents different perspectives on archaeological findings, which is essential for understanding the complexities of the field.
And it really gets into those complexities. One debate he highlights is about the site of Ai, mentioned in the book of Joshua. The biblical account places it at a specific time. But archaeologists have some questions. Could it be a case of mistaken identity for the location? Or are the dating methods off?
Yeah, that's a question that has puzzled scholars for decades. The evidence from the site doesn't quite line up with the traditional timeline based on the biblical text, which leads to a lot of discussion and debate.
It's like having two detectives at the same crime scene, coming up with different stories. So both archaeology and how we interpret ancient texts have some subjectivity, right? Different experts can draw different conclusions, even when looking at the same clues.
Exactly. It reminds us that human interpretation plays a role in any historical investigation. Recognizing that subjectivity is key to being open to different perspectives.
Now let's travel back in time to the patriarchal period. We're talking Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the founding fathers of the Israelite nation. There's a big question mark hanging over whether these figures were actual historical people.
It's a question that has gone back and forth over time. Early 20th century scholars were pretty skeptical, seeing them more as legendary figures or maybe representing entire tribes rather than individuals.
But then things started to shift mid-century with new archaeological findings. Scholars like John Bright argued that the patriarchs were likely real people based on what we were learning about the customs and social structures of that era.
Right. Bright was influenced by archaeologist William F. Albrecht, who thought the archaeological evidence supported the historicity of the patriarchs.
It felt like a big win for those who saw the Bible as historically accurate. But you know how it is with any good detective story. There's always another twist.
Right. More recently, scholars like T.L. Thompson and J. Van Cedars came along and brought back a wave of skepticism. They questioned the reliability of the evidence used to support the patriarch's historicity.
So it's like this pendulum swinging back and forth. Why is this period so tricky to pin down?
Well, one reason is that the patriarchal period predates a lot of the written records we have from the ancient Near East. It's like trying to solve a mystery with only half the clues.
But hey, even with missing pieces, we still have some pretty cool clues, right? And we're not just talking about dusty artifacts. Get this. We have ancient texts that read like soap operas.
I know, right? It's amazing. These discoveries from sites like Nusi and Mari, which date back to around the same time as the patriarchs, give us a peek into the daily lives of people back then. We're talking marriage contracts, inheritance laws, even family drama over adopted slaves.
It's like we can time travel back and see that they weren't so different from us. They had families, they made deals, they dealt with crazy relatives. It's all there. And here's the best part. Some of those patriarchal customs in Genesis that seem strange to us today actually make perfect sense when you look at these ancient texts.
For example, remember the story of Abraham and Sarah adopting their slave Hagar to have a child? That might seem odd to us, but these Nusi texts show us that it was totally normal back then.
So it's like archaeology is helping us understand the Bible and its proper context. It's filling in those cultural gaps and showing us that maybe things weren't as outlandish as they first appear.
Exactly. And sometimes those archaeological discoveries provide the most unexpected clues, like a fingerprint at a crime scene. We're talking about the patriarchs' names, it turns out. Those names, Jacob, Abram, Nahor, are found in texts from the correct time period, but not in later Israelite records.
Hang on. That's fascinating. So if someone was making up these stories centuries later, they wouldn't have gotten the names right. That's a pretty big detail to overlook.
Right. It's like the writer of Genesis had access to inside information about that period. This detail adds weight to the idea that the patriarchal narratives are rooted in real history, even if they've been passed down through generations and maybe embellished a bit along the way.
Okay, so we've talked about how archaeology can challenge and clarify our understanding of the Bible. But Dr. Van Noy brings up another important point that I found pretty thought-provoking. He talks about how archaeologists' own biases and assumptions can influence their interpretations.
That's a great point, and one that applies to any historical investigation. We all have our own perspectives and preconceived notions that we bring to the table.
So even scientists aren't immune to seeing what they want to see.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to have open discussions and consider different viewpoints. When researchers are transparent about their methods and assumptions, it allows others to scrutinize their findings and offer alternative explanations.
It's like having a team of detectives working together, bouncing ideas off each other, and challenging each other's conclusions. That's how we get closer to the truth.
Precisely. It's all about that collaborative spirit of inquiry. And remember, we are talking about a period thousands of years in the past. So there's bound to be some mystery and uncertainty.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into archaeology and biblical history, what's the one big takeaway you hope our listener walks away with?
I think the most important thing to remember is that archaeology is a powerful tool. It's a lens through which we can view the Bible and its historical context. It can illuminate, challenge, and surprise us. But it's not about finding absolute proof or disproof.
It's about adding depth and color to our understanding of these ancient stories and the world in which they came to be.
And perhaps most importantly, it's about cultivating that sense of curiosity and open-mindedness that encourages us to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep piecing together the fragments of the past. Now, before we finish up, we have one final thought-provoking question for our listener.
I'll get us with it.
Dr. Van Noy touches on this in his lecture, and it's something that has stayed with me. Does knowing about these archaeological debates, the uncertainties, the different interpretations, does it strengthen or weaken your confidence in the Bible's historical claims? There's no right or wrong answer. It's a personal reflection.
It's a great question to ponder. For some, the archaeological evidence might actually strengthen their faith and makes those biblical narratives feel more real and tangible. But for others, the ambiguities and debates might spark some doubts and cause them to question things they previously took for granted.
And that's okay. What matters is that we engage with these questions honestly and thoughtfully. Remember, faith and intellectual inquiry don't have to be at odds with each other. In fact, they can actually complement and enrich one another.
It's a journey of discovery, both archaeological and personal. And as we learn more, it opens up even more questions, doesn't it?
It's true. The more we learn, the more we realize there's so much more to uncover. It's a humbling and exciting process.
Exactly. So to our listener, keep digging deeper, keep exploring, and don't be afraid to ask those tough questions. Who knows what you might discover?
And maybe in the process, you'll discover something even more profound, a deeper understanding of yourself, your place in history, and how these ancient stories still resonate with us today.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into archaeology and biblical history. We hope you enjoyed the journey with us.
Until next time, keep exploring.
It's a journey of discovery, both archaeological and personal. And as we learn more, it opens up even more questions, doesn't it?
It does. The more we learn, the more we realize there's so much more to uncover. It's a humbling and exciting process.
So to our listener, keep digging deeper, keep exploring, and don't be afraid to ask those tough questions. Who knows what you might discover?
And maybe in the process, you'll discover something even more profound, a deeper understanding of yourself, your place in history, and how these ancient stories still resonate with us today.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into archaeology and biblical history. We hope you enjoyed the journey with us.
Until next time, keep exploring.